Blog Talk Radio.
Cheap ass Blog Talk Radio crap. Cheap theme music. Oh,
you know we're on the air right now.
Oops, sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
Yes.
Welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most. That is tired as hell, but still the show must go on. I am the king of king himself. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black back in the building once again. And I guess this is a two-man crew this time, I see.
Oh, great. I cannot get a female partner, but I'm always stuck with you, the same old guy for the last 20 years.
You're supposed to keep that a secret. Shh.
Oh, no. Well, before we carry on, I'd like to apologize for not being on the air last night. Quick personal story. I have two kids that got sick at the same time with fevers. Go figure.
Yeah. You're a real lucky guy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm very tired right now. And I have been up since 3 o'clock in the morning on, like, what, 2-3 hours of sleep?
Yeah. Good grief. and coughing your brains out as well also.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am sober right now. But the show must go on, because we are here to entertain you. And thank you once again for tuning in to last week's show, to our Father's Day topic.
Yes.
With another high-rated show of the week. And we're shocked, but we are applaud, and we are very grateful that you tuned in to listen to our show.
Yes. And Anitra B., who is not with us today, she thanks you as well. So, thank you.
You know, I already forgot about her.
You know, that's really sad. And you can't blame that on lack of sleep either. So.
Oh, wow. I forgot Anitra B is not here tonight. She's not feeling too well. She's a little bit underneath the weather or underneath the bed with some guy. I don't know yet.
Oh, boy.
But besides that. Okay. So here's a list of things, of events that happened last week. I don't know where to begin, so I'm going to name a few. And then we'll go take it from there. The Congress had a sit-down in protest of the gun laws vote. We had the gay rights movement, a gay pride week, which had a huge impact this week in New York City with a special meaning due to Orlando shooting massacre. We had, what else we had? We have Great Britain, again, had a big vote out of the, what, EU or Europe, something like that, Sean?
Yes, the European Union, the EU.
Oh, yeah, that crap. What else happened during the week? Oh, we have
Trump opened his mouth again.
That's nothing new.
Donald Trump opened his mouth again. And then Donald Trump opened his mouth again.
Oh, of course. And also, we have, I wrote down my notes, we have a big social media outtake on actor and activist Jesse Williams and his speech at the BET Awards that people feel inspired by his speech. Also, we have, that we just found out today, there was a terrorist attack in Turkey Airport. That left how many people dead, Sean?
36 dead and 147 wounded. I'm pretty sure it's going to go up. It's been all over the news, all over CNN. They interrupted throughout all the TV outlets at roughly about 11:30-ish, 11:45 in the morning. So that was all over the place.
Okay, so besides that, Sean Black, it seemed like it was a slow week last week. What story do you want to start off first?
Well, based on its importance to everything around this country, I think we should talk about the British vote, or the Brexit, as they called it, which a lot of people don't realize is
Brexit.
Yeah, it's actually that important to the United States as well as the rest of the world. Very big. Here we go. The Brexit happened based on a vote that the United Kingdom had last week to see if they would secede from the European Union, which they've been a part of for well over 46 or 47 years. And the big driving issue behind that entire vote was mostly due to the fact about immigration rights, and similar to what the United States has been going through as far as the argument of whether to have amnesty with immigrants or have immigrant rights, et cetera, et cetera. And they had the vote, and the referendum was voted on June 23rd, and they voted to secede away from the European Union, which is a 28-country bloc in Europe, you know, with Scotland and a lot of other European countries. The issue, which people don't realize, is the ramifications that this would have on not just England, but on the world itself. Because if you think about it, the United States is probably the biggest monetary partner with England. So that's a big, big, big thing there. And a lot of trade goes through with that. The British pound, which is their currency, has been very weak as of late. And now that they have seceded away from the Union, the British pound went straight into the garbage. And if you looked at the stock market as talking about the effects on the United States and the world, when the stock market opened up the day after the vote was made, it dropped well over 500 points within 5 minutes of the opening bell, and lost 611 points by Friday, by the end of the day on Friday.
Who came up with this idea, and why do you want to do it? Get voted, why do you want to vote out of the European, whatever they call this thing?
The issue with them leaving the European Union, or them wanting to leave the European Union, is you have two groups. You have the Remains, and then you have the ones that want to leave. The ones that wanted to leave are saying they want to take control of their country back. They want their what they're calling their own independence away from, you know, their economic independence, so that they can make their own decisions and make their own money for the country and try to strengthen up their economy. The ones that wanted to stay are the ones that want to stay put because they felt that the British economy was going to take a hit if they migrated away from the rest of the Union. So it's pretty much what we're hearing now with the United States and all of the nonsense that Donald Trump has been talking about. And as I told you before about the ramifications of what could happen with this vote, Donald Trump has been using what's happening in England and in Europe to try to bolster his campaign. So much so, which is the complete antithesis of what you would think he would be doing, he was there the day of the vote in Scotland promoting his recently opened golf course and making comments about how, well, when the British pound goes down, they're more likely to come over here to my golf course. And I'm like, you have to be kidding me. So these are the kind of ramifications.
Can you find that a genius idea? Can you find that genius? Is this a coincidence? Is this that he happens to be there, that he knew something like this might happen, and Donald Trump is there to the rescue?
And Donald Trump knows, he during his speech while he was there at the press conference about him going on talking about his golf course, the big issue that he brought up was the fact that he didn't know anything about it, he didn't know what was going on, and that it's a bunch of it's coincidental nonsense. He knew what was going on, and the sad part about it is if he didn't know what was going on, how can you claim to be a presidential candidate and not know what's going on with the biggest ally that the United States has in the world as far as world affairs and economy and trade is England. And England is going to go through a lot of strife over the next probably few years. And then you have to also think, now, England isn't going to be the first to leave. Don't be surprised if you start hearing about other countries in the European Union wanting to leave as well.
If the plan works, but we don't know if the plan works 4 years from now.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
But,
See, yeah.
wanted to call into the show, of course, and tell us what's on your mind. I forgot to mention this earlier, excuse me. The number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And we have K-Dog on the line now.
Hey, K-Dog. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Sean, what's going on?
All right.
Hey, what's going on?
Go ahead, K-Dog. Yeah.
Well, you know, with this breakup of the EU and Great Britain, you know, it's turmoil all over Europe now. Because I was just reading in the Associated Press about what's been going on because, you know, as you know, after the vote, Prime Minister David Cameron resigned. And today, just today, I just learned that the European leaders pushed Britain. They literally threw them out the door. And they warned the Prime Minister that there's no turning back after his country voted to leave the EU. Yeah. And they're pressing for Britain to get out of there quick.
Yeah. They want to make this thing as fast as humanly possible.
Exactly. And Cameron, on the other hand, you know, he's trying to, you know, find a way to for favorable conditions for Britain once it leaves. And he says, you know, there's no cherry picking of adventurous trade conditions. But they're growing frustrated with him because he refused to initiate the divorce proceedings immediately. He refused to do a quick exit. But he says he would leave the departure negotiations with his successor.
That's pretty much what would have to happen. I mean, at this point, his exit is going to happen in October. So he still has a few months, the month before the elections in the United States for who's going to be president to get a successor and try to kind of facilitate the move for Europe. And for England to find a new leader and try to see what they can do to get themselves in the right direction.
Yeah, because even the German chancellor had something to say about this. You know, the German chancellor dismissed the suggestion that Cameron's successor might not start the formal EU withdrawal process.
Yes,
because of all the financial problems that happened.
I know all this is going on, but also there was complaining about immigration, how they want to control immigration. So, once again, their fear of terror threat. Muslims, let's just be honest.
Of course,
refugees coming to the country.
Yeah.
Look, there's been a whole lot of that. It's coming on. Everything is coming in all at once. Because, you know, right today I read from another media source that the racial abuse in Britain, this conservative British person said that the police confirmed that they're investigating several racial motivated crimes. And you know what else? There's been anti-immigrant leaflets saying leave the EU and no more Polish vermin. And you know what? The signs were put on cars near school. Police, and you know, it happened the day after the vote.
Yeah.
And you know what's the crazy part about this overall, what you just said, K-Dog and Sean together?
Mm-hmm.
That here we are, including the United States, we complain so much about immigration, but we are the two countries that invaded a lot of countries in the past. Am I right?
Well, you're right, because
so
let me tell you something.
Yeah, hypocrite?
Yeah, that's being hypocritical because let me tell you, the United States of America was founded, you know, okay, quote unquote founded on immigrants coming here. Why do you think there's so much going on today? Because immigrants came here. People who came here by boat and settled here, they were immigrants. They're not originally from here. So I don't know where certain people are coming from saying that, oh, well, you need to get out of our country. No, you need to get out of the country yourself because you're an immigrant, believe it or not. And
okay.
History will prove
so
it right.
All right, so let's talk about the United States. That the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court justice voted against the immigration reform that President Obama tried to pass. And now we're in a situation where we have to deport, I'm just making the numbers up, over 20 million people back to their countries. But isn't this country built on immigration?
That's exactly what I said.
Do we need immigrants to live here?
Yes, you do. Because let me tell you something about America. America, everybody wants to come to America. America, the land of the free. People will come here to make a living. People will come from far and wide, whether they're coming from Europe, they're coming from the continent of Africa, they're coming from Asia, they're coming from south of the border, all over the place. The reason why they come here is to live free, because many of them are escaping political persecution. You know, they're escaping religious persecution.
Free? Are we really a free country, K-Dog? Are we really a free country?
That is a question that remains to be seen, because based on a lot of laws that have happened, based on many things that have happened here in the United States concerning immigrants, minorities, whatever have you, there's still a long way to go to accomplish their freedom. You know how I would say we were free? If I saw the justice system working fairly for many people, for people like ourselves, for the African-American community, for, you know, people who come here to live. If the justice system works for us, then I could say we'd be free. But we still have a long way to go because there's some things that's still not free in this country for us. I can't say total freedom.
So, Sean,
yeah.
Are we a free country?
We're much freer than a lot of the other countries that are out there. I think that it depends on what your definition of free is. If you mean truly free to do what you want, where you want, on some level, yeah. But at the same time, you're free with limitations. Whereas you, as opposed to other countries where you have pretty much no freedom to do a lot of things that we take for granted. And I think that's the issue that a lot of countries are trying to do for themselves, to try to break away from that and try to kind of get the same sort of model that the United States follows with its constitution and a lot of the other policies that it has on its own. Now, the problem is that the way everything is now, it's not going to happen with all of the changes that continue to happen and certain laws being changed or being looked at to be changed to help other people out in certain other instances.
Exactly.
Okay, talk about laws. Let's talk about the gun laws again, because that's always enough. Immigration, racism, gun laws seem like the topic of our show every week. We try to do fun topics, but these things keep coming back to haunt us every week, every week, every week.
Every week there's always a political turmoil going on.
And that's why, like Sean said earlier, the world is falling apart, and due to this
The world's gone mad.
Okay.
The world's gone
mad. The Congress sat down as some people say, little babies, in protest of the gun law, because Congress did not vote against the background check. Now you could be on a no-fly list and be banned from flying, leaving the country, but you could go out and buy a gun. There's no problem with that. I think I could speak for a few of us. We see that as a problem. But people that love guns don't see that as a problem. Before I send it to you guys, I just want to throw this little story about people who love guns and believe they have the right for guns. I read it in the paper yesterday that there was a mother in Texas who was a gun activist, every person should have the right to have a gun. Kill her two daughters in an altercation. The husband's father begged her not to shoot at her daughters. Daughters in their 20s. Of course, the mother's arrested. She owned a gun. I know everybody has a right to own a gun. We all agree to that. Not all AR-15s are guns. And as we've discussed on the show many times, you need proper background check, you need proper education. But I always said, things happen. So who knows what? I don't know the whole story of what happened in this altercation. My mother, a mother, took out a gun and killed her two only daughters.
Dead shame.
What was in her mind at that time? I don't care how heated the battle was, unless you're defending yourself, which I doubted, against two females.
Yeah.
What went through your mind to go out and get a gun and kill your own family members?
That, to me, it's like, okay, let me just take a trip back to what happened in Sandy Hook when Adam Lanza, before he massacred those 20 little angels, shot and killed his own mother. And the thing is, this love affair with guns, you know, when you have groups like the NRA, who sits there, you know, they have all these politicians in their back pockets. And they come up with every frugal excuse to say, well, the best way to get rid of guns is to get rid of bad people with guns. First up, number one, it's the law that the president wanted to put out there was not to take guns away from people, but to limit certain people from having guns. Because let's face it, guys, I mean, we all got to agree here. We could own guns, but what sense does it make that you're going to own an AR-15? You're not part of the military. You shouldn't own those kind of guns.
But at the same time, you're absolutely right. But you have your given right to own it. And like Sean said, we take advantage of our rights.
Yeah, we do.
People
because
we have our freedom. If you have a freedom to bear arms, that means you can carry almost any weapon you want, right? So people take advantage of that. And this is the freedom that we have, quote unquote, compared to other countries. So people go crazy. And it's
and
funny
what
how
I fail to understand
be
is
wrong people.
Look,
I'm sorry?
What I could say is this. Can you own a gun? Yes, that is your right to own a gun. But the reason why the background checks are so important is to make sure that the guns do not fall in the hands of the wrong people. Because you have people out there.
I disagree. Well, okay, the mother that killed her daughter, maybe she had a clean background check. Maybe she's perfect and she was clean. But things happened. That's what I said last time. Things happen to you. You can have the best background check. You can be the best terrorist undercover. You could
cheat
the system.
Yeah,
and
because
in a hard second, you go crazy and start killing people. What about the African guy who killed the guy with an iron stick over that wife that almost got raped by the guy? What happened?
Yeah.
His emotions take over. Emotions take over your soul sometimes.
You see me, Sean,
when I get angry when I see the bar tab. My emotions take over me, you know?
I understand.
Yeah.
And I'll do you one better as far as gun violence is concerned or whatever. We just recently, here in the New York area, in the Bronx, had a four-year-old child killed by her older brother by accident.
Yeah.
It was a loaded gun in the house that belonged to the mother. And I believe the older child was six and picked up the gun. It was loaded, playing around with it, shot and murdered the four-year-old brother, the four-year-old brother.
Yeah.
And the mother is now in jail. I think she's on $600,000 bail.
Yeah. Yeah.
After having to, and she doesn't even know she'll be able to go to the funeral, which is supposed to be on Friday. And these are the instances that we have to have, not even more so the checks and balances that we always talk about as far as gun laws are concerned, but also at the same time, we also have to make sure, why are there so many guns out there? Forget about the fact that we got the Second Amendment, which, as I've already said many times, is an interpretation off of something that was put into the Constitution back in the 1700s. The interpretation is completely different from what people take it as now.
Right.
The fact remains, we have way too many guns. We have no solutions on the table. And any time that somebody suggests something that is has a modicum of sense and sensibility to how we're going to handle that, it gets struck down by Congress because of the people that either are religious and feel that it is their God-given right to have guns, or the ones that are in the NRA's pocket or believe that they belong in that sense that they need to have their guns. And everybody thinks that
okay.
the government is going to take their guns and take your guns, and that is not the case.
No, it's not. It's just to make sure that laws – make sure that these gun laws are enhanced because, you know, in certain states, you have children as little as 5 years old who know how to operate guns, who know how to shoot a rifle because let's just say, okay, you live, like, in the southern states. Do you know how many people down south own guns?
Yeah.
A huge majority of them.
Yeah. Hot Rod, you remember you showed me a video about a week or two ago of a kid, or it was a father, that had a table full of guns.
Yeah.
A couple of them might have been automatic rifles, but there were no ammunition in them. And he was teaching the two kids, who couldn't have been any older than maybe 6 or 7 years old, how to use them, what to do with them, and then he was trying to reinforce to them, well, it's not the guns that kill people, it's the people that have the bad intentions that do it. So this is how, and he's trying to reinforce how to use it, but the reasons why you should use it and why you shouldn't use it. And on some level, depending on how you feel about guns, you could look at that and say, well, at least he's trying to teach the kids what to do and what not to do, but yet at the same time, it's like this is really kind of, you know, these are kids. They shouldn't be anywhere near guns at all.
Well, I'm happy you brought that up because I was always meant to bring that statement with Brother B about that because, you know, Brother B, he know more about the situation than I do. But when I first saw the video, believe it or not, I'm 50-50. I'm 50 okay with it,
right.
I'm 50 not okay with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, you want to teach your children something. And, you know, I go by the number one rule, do what the hell you want is your life. But, you know, as a father, do I want to teach my son right now guns? What's the difference between me teaching him how to use an AR-15 compared to a Super Soaker?
Mm. Yeah.
Like showing him the position of how to use a gun or when to fire. Like, do I agree? I think I'm more upset that he posted a video on Facebook, on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more upset about that, like, once again. Like Sean always said, there's a place and time for everything. You want to show your kids the right way to do. Like, do I want to show my daughter how to defend herself at 4 or 5 years old? Yes. Do I need to show everybody how I'm going to defend my daughter? No. And the sad part is, you could see who that child is. So if I see Sean's son in the street, holy crap, he know how to use a gun. I can't protect myself from him. Because he could be carrying a gun. Oh, let me shoot him first before he shoot me. The mentality of other people changes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm 50-50. But I want to talk to someone more who know more about guns and know the knowledge of guns. Yes, guns don't kill people. There's people that kills people. But it's the mentality that really kills people with guns. But like I said earlier, once you have a gun, we all agree, when someone have a gun, they feel like you have power. Money is power, guns are power. Politicians feel like they have power. And I think that's the thing. When you feel you have power in your hand, and you take it to the next level. If I saw Sean in the street and he messed with my wife or with my children, and I had a gun in my hand, you think I would fight you? Hand-to-hand combat? I don't know. You could know karate, and I don't know karate. It was easier. Because everybody wants the fastest way of life. It's easier for me to shoot you behind than for me to fight you.
Mm.
Ooh, that was a powerful speech, and I did that sober.
No, because you know what it is?
Go ahead.
It's all about, this is the thing that people have with guns, the love affair that they have with guns is that They feel some sense of power to own the weapon. If you have a 9mm, like these days, I was having this discussion with my friends the other day, and they were saying, you know what? People really don't know how to fight anymore. I'm sure you guys will agree to that, because I said, you know, you could use your fist. But then later on, the person that got beaten up, or they were the ones who won the fight or whatever have you, comes back looking for the person with a gun and is ready to open fire on a crowded street just to get back at that person.
Mm.
Oh,
and
even
you know,
even one better to you, dog. What
yeah.
about the rapper in Baltimore that preached against violence and guns got killed
yeah.
over the weekend by a gun?
Exactly.
Isn't
and
that something? Here you are preaching against nonviolence.
And
I'm
you
trying
die
to make the community better. Isn't that touche?
Yeah, that's really, really crazy. That's crazy in and of itself. I mean,
it is. It's really bad, man.
Yeah. And I think that what the problem is that we don't know how, because we've not given many opportunities to kind of explain why these things continue to happen, other than the fact that we know that there's money involved in keeping the guns on the street and keeping the guns
time and time
flowing.
Again.
We go over this time and time again, and I've said this, it seems like every week, is that it's that broken record thing. We talk about something happening, guns happen, somebody gets murdered, mass shooting, some kind of craziness goes on, then we all get angry over it, then we expect Congress to come up and do something about it. Congress
exactly.
ends up, they wipe their hands of the situation, and then they walk off and go mm-hmm. out, and that's it. Now, the sit-in
okay, so Sean,
that you brought
so
up.
So the sit-in, do you think, excuse me, Sean, do you think the sit-in had any effect or did anything about it at all? Or was it awoken people's eyes again?
I don't think the sit-in had the intended response that the people that started the sit-in had.
Yeah.
Now, the person that started it up, which is Representative John Lewis, who was actually
yeah.
there at Marched in Selma during the 60s for the Civil Rights Movement, he helped spearhead this sit-in with 170 lawmakers and going on social media.
Of course.
He had the right idea. But we're talking about a dysfunctional group that doesn't want to pass anything that has anything to do with guns, because in the minds of one half of the group, guns on the table, if you do something about it, is going to change how the Second Amendment is. On the other hand, we keep hearing every day, Chicago, New York, California, Texas, we hear all the cities over and over and over and over again. Somebody in the streets got murdered. Somebody in the house was part of a drive-by. Something
right.
happened, some mass shooting has happened, and nobody is doing anything about getting any of these guns off the street or making sure that there are better background checks. Nobody is saying you can't use a gun. What they're
right.
looking for is better background checks in law enforcement of what's on the books to make sure that we don't have another Sandy Hook, or we don't have another Orlando, or we don't have another San Bernardino, or we don't have another any big mass shooting before. Because remember before, we were talking about at one point all the mass shootings were happening in high schools. Then
yeah.
all of they were happening on college campuses. Now they were happening at people's jobs. Then they're happening in federal buildings. When is this going to stop?
And
that is the problem.
For years. And it's been going on for years because, Sean, you know, also back in, like, I think 1984, if I'm not mistaken, there was a shooting inside of a McDonald's in California
mm-hmm.
in which the police walked in and shot the shooter. He shot up, I think he killed at least 22 people inside of that McDonald's. And
okay.
We see it time and time again, Columbine, and also, like you said, offices. So now we have on our hands a government, of course, Congress, who have politicians in their – of course, you have Congress who have the NRA in their back pockets not doing anything to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
No law whatsoever.
So I have two questions before I go to the next topic. Is our government full of crap?
I guess it's safe to say that they are. I mean, the only thing in this whole background checks thing that we talked about, the House Democrats, all they wanted to do was get votes to expand the background checks and just ban the gun sales to people that are on the no-fly watch list. That was it. It's not like they were talking about reinventing the wheel or changing the sky from blue to purple. That's not what they were talking about. And that is what caused all of this upheaval. Congress is going to go on their recess in July the 5th when they're off for wherever they take their vacation and break, and then they come back and reconvene in a month or 6 weeks or however long it takes them.
And still do nothing.
Nothing will have happened other than this blip on the radar. And the problem is any time that this kind of thing happens, the perception, whether it's outside of the country, whether it's within the country,
or even inside of the church,
is that Republicans and Democrats will never do anything because they just don't get on the same page. Republicans are holding at the status quo. Democrats want something to change, and it's like the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. They run into each other, and nothing happens. And it's the same thing. And we thought when Sandy Hook happened, something was going to change. Didn't happen. We thought something would change when San Bernardino came up. Nothing happened. And as
even
we're
with,
seeing right
even
now.
With South Carolina, even with South Carolina.
Exactly.
Let's not forget the church.
We thought something would happen, and we got some movement in the sense that with all of the Confederate flag stuff happening, where they finally got rid of the flag as a state flag, and all
it
of that
save,
happening,
it don't solve nothing.
Nothing was solved because we're still getting the same kind of stuff.
Yep. Time
okay.
Well, time again.
Let me tell you guys a quick story. I just like to know. I was wrong to a certain degree, and I know you're supposed not to judge a book by its cover, but I just want to know how wrong was I in the situation that happened today. We all know the attack that happened in Turkey, so of course everybody's on high alert, everybody's looking around, you know, make sure, you know, you're safe. I'm on the train, heading home after a long day of work, and a guy dressed in, Sean knows the terms, you know, the thing that you wear around your head, the old white sheets. You know, he looked like a Muslim. Hop on the train, no problem. But I'm sitting down, and he's standing by the door. And he has his phone to his ear, like music's blasting loud with the language. I'm guessing Arabic, I'm assuming. And he has a white sack behind him. And he just keep pacing back and forth, back and forth. When the door opened, he stepped back in. So everybody on the train is looking at this guy like, okay, are you going to try to do something? So everybody's like wide awake looking at this guy. I'm like, are you trying to do something or he just being crazy? You don't know. So I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit scared. I don't know what's going on with this guy. There's been an attack a few hours ago in Turkey. So I saw a couple of people got off the train, ain't taking no chances. So I got off the train and took the express train. Was I wrong for jumping out the train and just go out my business, or should I have stayed and be a brave American soldier or whatever?
Well,
it was just an average Joe, just like the rest of us, walking back and forth. We see them on the train all the time, and you wouldn't care. Because America, because of the media, everything that's going on, we say Muslim in our head. So you see someone dressed as a Muslim, you just heard an attack going on right now. Mm-hmm. You're scared.
Yeah.
So did I overreact it, or did I just take, I better be safe than sorry, and like, you know what, let me just get off. Because I have no
what I think. What I think happened is your natural fight or flight response kicked in. Whereas, like you just stated, this is just literally hours after what had happened with the Istanbul thing on the news.
Yeah,
and all of the tension involved you kind of, in the back of your mind, are thinking, you know what, I don't know what's going on. Let me just be safe, even though it may be nothing.
It's
let me
better
just,
to be safe
see
than
what
sorry.
Happens. Now, if you were to go and say, because he's a Muslim, he's going to do something and then get off, then that would be wrong because you're prejudging him based on something that you just saw or a fear.
Right.
But as far as your reaction to just get off the train or whatever was the case, that I believe is just your innate natural, I would say survival instinct, but just you kind of, your spider sense was tingling, so to speak.
Yeah. Rather, you know, it was not me. It was, like, other people, like, right away. You know how people like to sleep on the train after a long day of work? Everybody's
exactly.
looking up like, yo, you make one false move, we're going to jump. Why are you carrying a sack, you know, a white sack? You know, we all trying to see what's inside the sack. Like, are you trying to detonate something, you know?
Yeah.
Homie, don't play that, so.
And this is the dangerous part of it.
This is the thing.
The dangerous part about that whole deal. Is that what I just described? Is that the prejudice that could be perceived from that?
Right.
It could be absolutely nothing. He could just be coming from somewhere and just had a bag and just was. He might just have a bunch of books in there. Or
you know,
food that he was going to eat. You never know.
Or better yet, you know what else too? With Muslims, whenever you see someone who is a Muslim, they have certain times of the day in which they pray.
Yeah,
and
but this is a prayer time. This is a prayer month.
Yeah. And also,
okay, well, we have a new caller, 930, you're on the air.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Of course. Listen, Ronnie just being SAWFT soft. That's all that is. You know what I'm saying? He got soft.
Uh-huh.
But to be honest, though, number one, about your situation there, listen, if someone has, like, a bomb or something like that, want to shoot up a train, listen, ain't nothing you can do about that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you're dead one way or the other. Now, I know you saw the thing out of Turkey, so okay, it's fresh in your mind. You're going to look at the Muslim guy sideways. But let's be honest, statistically and numerically, the white Christian man is just as, if not even more, dangerous. You know what I'm saying? You got these little Dylan Roofs out here, these little neo-Nazi people out here in, you know, Sacramento with their little rallies and stuff like that. And these white Caucasian Christians could have worn up in there and shot up a train or, you know, did something too. But you're not going to look at them the same way.
True.
Because you know, if that was a white Caucasian man, you know, Christian, whatever have you, you wouldn't have thought twice about it. But he could just easily did the same thing.
Well, you know, Milton, I'm just going to say this, you know, in the case of racial profiling Muslims, it's the same way they look at us. When they follow us around the store, they're not afraid of being racist, you know.
Ain't nothing in order to protect our safety. The thing about racial profiling doesn't work. Because you be looking at one person and someone else do something. You know what I'm saying? So I understand being on guard, but you got to look at everybody. You just can't pick and choose who you look at.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because anybody can do anything. So if you just look at one set of people, someone else going to do something. And to be perfectly blunt about it, if someone really wants it bad enough, there ain't nothing you could do about that.
I agree 100%. But some type of measures. And like I said, if a white guy had did the same thing, pacing back and forth, no one would not care.
A black man could have done that.
A Chinese man could have done that. We all have fears of Muslim people right now, some of us. That would call everybody's attention. We see crazy people do that all the time on the train in New York. We pay them no mind. Anything could happen, especially with homeless people.
How many times have you been on a train and you saw the homeless, you know, two-tooth white guy pacing up and down, talking about killing people or, you know, just saying a bunch of insane stuff? So what do people usually do? They either ignore them or they move to the next car.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to be in the same car with the person.
Exactly. You never
know
that guy. That guy could actually have bombs underneath his shirt or something like that, and you would never know.
And start swinging it around.
Or what about the guy that, let's say, is in a suit and tie, wearing sunglasses, and walks on the train and has a briefcase, and you look at him and like, oh, he's just coming from work, and he could have something in his bag. You'd never know. So to look and say that it's the Muslim guy or it's this guy, there's no way to tell.
You can't identify a killer because a killer comes in, and you know what? It's any race of people. It could be anybody.
All right, but
so basically
now
you gotta beat everybody up now.
Well, I want to move on to the next topic because I was praying that Milton S. will call. I want to talk about the Jesse Williams BET Awards speech that got everybody talking on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And even Justin Timberlake got backlash from his tweet in social media. So, Milton X, what are you thinking about the speech of Jesse Williams? Talk about black oppression, and I forgot other things that he talked about, but it was sounds so powerful that everybody rises up
about
at class.
About taking responsibility and leaving the whole thing behind.
Well, it's like this. First of all, he said everything that I would want to say, but in a calm, succinct manner. You know.
You calm?
You know.
Sheesh.
He said it calmly. Me, I was just sitting more angrily and was told white America to kiss my black ass. But I respect what he did. You know.
Milton, hold on. Before people that don't know, Jesse Williams is a half black, half white activist, and he's on that show Grey's Anatomy, something like that.
Yeah,
that's who
Grey's Anatomy.
We're talking about.
Yeah, right.
But listen, he said
a lot of things on free on social media before about the black experience and things of that nature. So it was definitely not surprised that he took that platform to say something, and that was cool, and I respect that. I wish more. Celebrities or people would say, stand up and call this system of white supremacy for what it is. You know what I'm saying? So that was a good look. Hopefully he won't catch too much of a backlash from it, but the devil always got the eyes and the ears open, so he definitely won't catch some shit. But,
talk about backlash.
I appreciate what he did.
Talk about backlash. Justin Timberlake, through the speech, tweeted, inspired, and people curse him out, give us back our music.
That's because he's a young Elvis. That's why.
This is the thing.
He basically sampled black music. You know what I'm saying? And people resent him for it.
Before I go to UK Dog, what is black music?
But listen, to be honest, music in general is black music. All of that
it
shit.
It is.
R&B, soul,
jazz.
Music, jazz, all that shit is us, to be blunt. But when we notarized for R&B and hip-hop, whatever, but we invented all of that shit, top to bottom. So when you see Justin Timberlake mimicking the so-called black style, sort of like what Elvis did, back in the day, he saw, I think it was Lionel Richard, not Lionel Richard, but Little Richard, there you go. Saw that
Chuck
style, Barry. And just basically, Chuck Berry, exactly, there's another one, and he basically stole that shit, you know what I'm saying? And you see now the modern day version of that, because let's be honest about it. Black man, something, white man, take it. Ain't nothing new there.
Okay, so, K-Dog, were you upset about Justin Timberlake what he tweeted, being inspired, and do you feel that he is he a ripoff of Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry and all that good stuff?
Well, let me just say this about Justin Timberlake. It's all right. I understand that you love our music, but don't just take our music and use it as your own, because it has happened time and time again. Because let me tell you something. If you go back to the very beginnings, Jazz music, that's ours.
Right.
Classical music, that's ours.
Right.
Rhythm and blues, that's ours. Rock and roll,
that's
ours. Heavy metal. As a matter of fact, you know what? I was talking to someone the other day. They said, heavy metal. I'm like, yes, heavy metal is our music. And you know,
okay,
what Justin Timberlake said, okay, you want to say all of us, but yet you have to understand, Justin Timberlake, you have to understand what it's like to being a black person here in America. You know, you don't know anything about that. So you can't speak on our behalf.
And also, he don't pay respect, like, you know, unless, you know what I'm saying, he don't pay respect to the dudes. And let's say Eminem will pay. Because at least Eminem, in the hip-hop side of things, he pays respect to those black artists that came before him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you know,
He paid respect. You don't see the Justin Timberlake paying that respect like that.
Right, because
okay,
you know what? This is the thing.
Hold on, kiddo. I have to give Sean his time. Sean, do you agree or disagree? And do you think, do you like Justin Timberlake?
I have no problem with Justin Timberlake at all.
Me neither.
I think he's a talented guy. We also got to remember he's from New Orleans, and the New Orleans culture is very Afrocentric.
Yeah.
A lot of French, a lot of African involved in the culture. So he grew up around that, and as you can tell by the way he dances, the way he sings, you can hear that he has soul in him.
Yeah.
The issue is, in society, is what is considered black. And when a white celebrity or a white singer, entertainer, does something that is quote-unquote considered black, is it an imitation? Is it a is it something that they're paying homage to, or is that actually how they are? There are a lot of people, there are a lot of quote-unquote white folks that in the media, in the perception of other blacks, that actually, quote, think that they're black, as that perception is, that a lot of African-Americans look at certain white people and say that they think that they're black. When in reality, a lot of these white folks that have grown up in that culture identify with the black culture more so than the white culture.
Yeah.
Now, is that wrong?
Sean, listen.
Yeah.
I'm going to say about all that shit. You know what I'm saying? First of all, they ain't black when the police show up. They're only black when it benefits them financially and shit. And then when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, let me jump out to my white side. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of like when white men fetishize black women, or black white women fetishize black men. You know what I'm saying? They get their rocks off with them, then go right back to the white side. So you gotta understand how that bullshit go.
Well, I can see in the eyes of African Americans how the ones that are very sensitive about the topic would look at that and would completely agree with you. Then on the other side of that argument, when you have white people that, like I just told you, that grew up within the culture, and they are legitimately ingrained within the culture. Now, true, having the white skin, having the light colored skin, will give you
the
advantage of certain
complexion for the protection.
But as far as music goes, as far as the culture goes, there are a lot of white people that are out there, a lot of Caucasians that live, breathe, and believe in the culture that are not fake. That, as we have seen, a lot of white people that are claimed to have stolen stuff from the African American community, and the big one that I've heard over the last couple of years has been Robin Thicke. Well, a lot of people think he took a lot of his influence from Marvin Gaye,
right,
and that was a big lawsuit over a lot of that. So,
All right, guys, guess what? It's that time of the night. I have to ask you for your final thought about everything. Milton X, I know you have a lot to say, so take it away.
All right, first of all, you know what I'm saying, give props to Jesse Williams for speaking his mind as a black man and having the balls to stand up for what he believes in. As for the current topics concerned, the bigger issue is not white appropriation. It's the fact that blacks, we don't own shit. if we own record companies and own TV stations. Hell, we don't even fucking own BET. If we had better ownership about things in general, we wouldn't need this so-called appropriation for shit. You know what I'm saying? We need to keep our money. We need to create our own black state in America, link up with the African Union over there in Africa, you know what I'm saying, and worldwide black folk about how ownership and getting things together. That's
okay,
what it comes down to.
Well, I got to say is that I believe that the black mind is one of, is the greatest mind of all, and
exactly.
That we are a people that have been creative. We've done, in terms of art, religion,
yep.
politics,
yep.
we've done all of that. And I feel that we as a people need to put our heads together to build a stronger union and a stronger
exactly.
community.
I agree.
Okay. Sean Black or Sean White? I'll call you Sean White. Sean White, take it away.
I think that in general, just of all the topics that we talked about today, I think it's the bigger picture that we have to look at is how the world has absolutely changed in an eye blink.
Yeah.
Just a couple of weeks ago, one thing happened. You know, we were thinking that some parts of the country were going to progress, and then we have the shooting. And then we thought that we're going to have gun control laws or at least have it looked at again. That didn't happen.
No.
So my final thought for today is that everybody needs to be able to stay stern on everything that's going on, pay attention to what's going on, and actually create some action. There have been a lot of people that have actually gone out and talked and said things. I think this is the time of action because we have roughly 5 months before the presidential election. And the
yeah.
one thing that has to be taken into consideration is this vote, probably more than any other year that I can remember, is going to count on who
wow.
is going to be
Big.
Running the country and
wow.
what it's going to do to the country over the next
wow.
5 years.
Why is
okay,
that so?
All right. Okay. So I have to make this special announcement. We will not be back on the air, not next Monday, because next Monday is 4th of July, and most likely I will be hungover or drunk
of
or
course.
Both.
What else you know?
Of course.
We'll probably be back either July 5th or the 11th, but most likely the 11th. But here's a question. I don't want no answers right now, but I want Sean to do his research on this. I want to go a little bit more controversial, unless the world comes to an end again and everything changes and we have to change our topics again.
Of course.
Well, here's a topic I really want to talk about in next coming up weeks, guys. Do you think the Bible is real?
The what?
The Bible is real.
Mm.
Just something to think about and talk about it next time we'll be back on the air. I think that will last at least a whole hour, at least unless something happens again.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, Milton X, K-Dog, thank you so much. Can't wait to do this again.
Hey.
Till next time. Good night, guys.
Till
the pleasure
time.
Is all yours.
The pleasure is all yours, man. All right, gentlemen.
All right. And
yes.
I have a minute. Sean Black, thank you so much. I need you to be. Stop having sex in the corner and feel better. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rock with the one, the only,
Sean Black.
And an HB.
Oh, I had to say that.
That is so white of you. Now you're going to get us in trouble. Now you're going to say that you have black, half white. What's wrong with you?
Of course.
And by the way, I'd like to know, who make better lovers, white woman or black woman? That's another question I'm going to ask next time. Right,
and
guys,
then when
so
you're finished, you can actually say the pleasure was all yours.
Oh, yes, indeed. And with my love, she probably pregnant, too. Oh, good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.